Blog Talk Radio.
You a nasty motherfucker.
Look at her, she exotic, she exotic, she exotic, she exotic. I said she exotic, she exotic. Got me staring at them tats on her body.
Got me fine.
Look at her, she exotic, she exotic, she exotic.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night.
Excuse me, and that
may slap the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Well, we had a couple great bouts this weekend, of course. Manny Pacquiao getting back in the ring. We also saw Nonito Donaire get back in the ring, and we're going to talk about some of those fights. We're also going to talk about some of the new schedule that we have up for this month. I'm going to start by getting in Mr. John Skelly. Hey, Jabron, what's going on tonight, my man?
Nothing much, JK. How about yourself?
Oh, hey. Just another day out here in Southern Cali, my man. I guess we have quite a few things to talk about. Of course, have to start with the Pacquiao fight. And, of course, the presence of one Mr. Floyd Mayweather. Along with talking a little bit about Pacquiao's performance. So why don't you give us your glimpses into the Pacquiao performance while we get Mr. Skelly on?
Well, I thought Pacquiao's performance was a good performance. People would look at his performance and say, well, he didn't knock Vargas out, and he hasn't knocked nobody out in so long, and, you know, so on and so forth. But if you're thinking that and you feel that way, then that means you're discrediting Vargas, who came game to fight. You know, the bright lights wasn't too bright for Vargas. You know, a lot of times, leading up to big mega fights with fighters that's not on on that big stage or never been on that big stage before, you know, they talk a good game leading up to the fight.
What?
But hello,
all right, you up?
Once that bell rings, you know, and once they get hit, you know, that the game plan goes all out the window. But what we saw with Vargas, you know, he was all game. He stuck to his game plan. He listened to his corner. So you can't take anything away from Vargas. But taking away from Pacquiao's performance, I mean, he you know, he looked fluent. He still has power. Stamina wasn't a problem. I didn't see any leg cramping problems. You know, Pacquiao, you know, he looked good, like, you know, normal Pacquiao. And what I would say that he's thinking a lot more. Pacquiao is thinking a lot more, and the reason why he's thinking a lot more, Vargas forced him to think. It was time, and he stated that after the fight, the reason why he wasn't going in because he didn't want to get countered. He did feel the right hand of Jesse Vargas. So he didn't want to keep continually getting countered. That's why he didn't apply as much pressure as the casual fan would want him to put. What you think, JK?
Well, we have a couple professionals here that we can talk to. You gave your idea of the casual fan, but let's get some professional critiques in here. And let's start out, of course, with John the Iceman Scully. Scully, how you doing this evening, my man?
That's really good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, doing great. Scully, what did you think of Pacquiao's performance last night?
You know, to be honest with you, from what I saw, he looked just the same as he always does for the most part. He looked like I thought he was going to look. You know, I've heard people after the Mayweather fight, you know, they said he's lost it and he's past his prime, which he's probably past his prime. But, you know, it's just like with Roy Jones. Like, you can't gauge a fighter by how he looks fighting Roy Jones the same way you can't gauge a fighter based on how he looks fighting Floyd Mayweather, because nobody's going to look – some guys don't even look world-class when they fight Floyd. They don't even look like they're at that level. But then they fight other people and you realize how good they are. I never thought Pacquiao really lost anything over these last couple of years. I thought he looks, for the most part, the same, and he does, you know, and it's true. If anything, he thinks a little bit more. He's a little bit smarter, if anything. I thought he looked good. I mean, I thought he looked good. I thought he looked very solid. Fundamentally, everything was in order, and, you know, it was kind of a typical performance.
Okay, that's to say it's pretty typical performance. Of course, now we have, the former heavyweight champ here, Mr. Layman Brewster. Layman, how are you doing this evening, my man?
How's everybody
Hello?
Doing?
Yeah. Okay.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing all great. We're doing great. Well, at least I can speak for myself anyway. But, Layman, you heard the other two gentlemen. What did you think about Pacquiao's performance?
Scully, he pretty much hit on the head. Man, you know, it was classic Pacquiao. It wouldn't he did anything extra, you know, that we haven't seen. And it's not to discredit him or anything like that, you know. He hasn't lost a step. He looked like the same pack, you know, very consistent. And, you know, it was good to see him go out there and put on a good showing, you know, to give the fighting fans something to talk about, you know, at the end of the day.
Jabron kind of touched on it a little bit. Has Vargas's performance been lost? In all of the debate about Pacquiao, have we, even though he lost, have we kind of discounted Jesse's performance?
Oh, man, you know, just like Scotty said, you know, you're fighting a premier fighter in Pacquiao, and, you know, it ain't to say he's better or he's worse. It's just, I mean, in terms of his performance, but you know, he's fighting the absolute best in the game. And, you know, it ain't really too much you could say. He was just, you know, Pacquiao was the better man.
Scully, you know, of course, we know that Floyd was, you know, their ringside. And, you know, Floyd's not really known to go and look at fights unless, you know, there might be something up and coming. Scully, what's your idea on Floyd being ringside? And do you think that there's a legitimate chance that we're going to see a Floyd Manny 2?
I mean, you know, at this point, I think that when Floyd does something like that, because he very, you know, you very rarely see him at at fights like I don't remember him ever being at a Pacquiao fight. I don't know if he ever went to one or not, but I always used to ask people, man, how come he doesn't go and hype the fight up and make, you know, like back in the day, you know, Jerry Cooney went to Larry Holmes fights and Ali went to Foreman fights, you know, to try and get things going. And I always wonder why Floyd didn't go. But it's hard to say because, you know, instinctively you'd say, oh, he's there to hype up a rematch, and, you know, that's why he's there. But I think with Floyd, you know, sometimes he may just want to get his name back out in the spotlight, and, you know, it's probably a pretty great feeling to be able to walk into an arena as a retired boxer and people still go crazy for you more than they do the modern day fighters that are still competing. I certainly wouldn't. It certainly doesn't hurt the interest in a rematch with Pacquiao. Even though me personally, I have no interest in seeing it. To be honest with you, I have zero. I didn't even have interest in the first fight. To be honest with you, but I certainly don't have interest in a rematch. But that's the way the business is. So him being there certainly didn't damage the buzz for a potential rematch. That's for sure.
Jabron, as a fan, what did you take away from Floyd being at the fight?
Well, JK, I can't say as a fan because I do have a little bit of connections and informants, and from the very reliable source that I spoke to, it was an invitation. Manny Pacquiao invited Mayweather to the fight. So that's why he was there.
So do you think that if he hadn't been invited, that Floyd would have made the trip anyway? I mean, you know, considering Floyd is right there in Vegas anyway.
Yeah, he would have still been there. For the simple fact that he's on the business side of boxing, he's a promoter. He has, you know, fighters in his stable, and like you say, he's Money Mayweather. He's a businessman. So, anytime that any type of business can be conducted or networking, he's going to be in the middle of that. So I don't think he would pass up on that opportunity to possibly make, you know, find opponents for some of his fighters or different things of that sort. Floyd, you know, he's in a lot of different things. So,
Layman, you know, Scully kind of hit on it a little bit there. For those that were kind of familiar with everything that happened from the first fight and all the controversy and everything, Layman. Do you think that there's a possibility of Floyd coming out of retirement, or do you kind of agree with Jabron that he was just there as a businessman?
You know, man, it's all for that guessing. We really don't know. You know, only time is really going to tell that, as far as I'm concerned. I hope, and it's just me speaking as a boxing fan, I hope that he's there to see what Manny has to offer. And maybe it was great that Manny made him an offer to show that he still got it and he wants that rematch. I think it would be great if they could strike up a deal to have a rematch personally, but like I'd say, you never know. And, you know, we don't know what his ultimate reason for being there was, so we'll just have to, I guess just wait around till we hear, you know, because it'll come out. I'm sure at some point somebody's going to ask, wait, why was he there, and it will come out. But I would love to see Floyd do that, because I would love to see him have the chance to break the record what was his name?
Marciano.
Yeah. So I would like to see that personally. And not and just for the record, it ain't. It's not to discredit. It ain't to discredit Marciano, but like, you know, Marciano fought a lot of people that you would say were not heavyweight worthy. And, you know, it is what it is, man. I don't want to get people upset by my own personal comments, but I would like to see Floyd do it because Floyd's fought everybody. And, you know, just to break that record to be 50-0 would be incredible in my lifetime.
Scully, you know, I mean, people talk about that 50-0, but I mean, you know, if Floyd was going to come back and break the record for 50-0, don't you think that there are more that there are some younger guys that would deserve that podium rather than Manny Pacquiao?
Well, yes, but let me just say one thing. As a boxing, you know, historian of sorts, let me just clarify one thing, like, so everybody understands. Like, two things. One, that Marciano record, that's only the heavyweight record. Like, when they say the Marciano record, they're just talking about heavyweights. That's not for all of boxing. They don't mean it that way. That's never the way. But here's the thing. The only reason Marciano ended up 49-0 is because he retired. Like, Chavez was 89-0. The only reason he lost is because he kept fighting. So, you know what I mean? It's like right now you have Ricardo Lopez, I believe, was 53 wins and no losses and a draw. There's another guy out there, and I actually forget his name. I've never seen him fight, but I believe he's from Venezuela. He's a world champion right now. His record's like 54-0. The Spanish guy, I'm not even sure. I don't know if you guys know, but he's like 54-0 right now. His record is, that's what his record is. So he's got the record. You know, if you want to call it that, but, so the thing is, again, you know, Willie Pep won like 62 fights in a row. Ray Robinson won like 68 or, you know, whatever. They both made it into the 60s without losing. So it's a little deceiving. I think Floyd has intentionally, done that, you know, to get people talking about the undefeated record. But there's been a lot of guys. Like you said, Chavez was, I believe, he was going for his 90th win when he lost to Frankie Randall. So that's a heck of a lot more impressive numbers, anyway. But again, me personally, I cannot stress that I do not care to see the fight just because. I knew that the first time everybody, you know, I was there in Vegas for the fight. Everybody was going crazy for weeks and months and, you know, this and that. And I was saying, man, these people are insane. Like, there's no way Manny Pacquiao is going to beat Floyd Mayweather. I don't care what they say. I don't care what kind of hype we're looking at. He's not going to beat this guy. There's no way. And I was amazed that more people couldn't see that as clearly as it was. And the fight turned out exactly as I figured it would, that I thought most people figured it would. And as far as the rematch match goes, I mean, you see Floyd, you see pictures of him. This man is not out of shape. This man does not let himself go. You know, when Muhammad Ali retired after the Spinks fight, he weighed like close to 300 pounds. You know, and Riddick Bowe, all these guys, you know, when they retire. Floyd Mayweather, look at him. He's not heavy. You know, he's looking sharp. He's looking, I'm sure he runs. I'm sure he keeps in shape. I'm sure mentally he's still a fighter. I don't care. They could say he's retired, but mentally I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So a rematch would be a repeat, no doubt in my mind. And they're just trying to manipulate it to get that big payday, and if they want to do it, they'll get it. It'll be there. There'll be more than, even if it was, even if, think about it. That first fight was so big that if they made half the money that they made in the first fight, if they cut it in half, which would be a failure under any other terms, if they cut it in half, it would still be the second highest grossing fight in history behind their first fight. That's how big the fight was. So I'd be surprised if they don't go for it. I won't pay for it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, who lets 60-50, whatever the number is, who lets that lay on the table? I mean, not many people in their right minds would let that lay on the table. And so I would guess that it's going to happen.
DeBron, would you rather see Floyd, face one of the young guns instead of Manny? And, do you think, that considering Floyd's reputation, do you think that he would go that route rather than, I mean, you know, we know Floyd usually always has an angle. So do you think that Floyd's angle is, a second fight with Manny rather than being pressured into a fight with someone like, say, maybe Keith Thurman?
Whatever makes financial sense, as Abel Sanchez would say, that's the fight that Floyd is going with. Whatever makes financial sense, that's the fight that he's going to go with coming out of retirement. So, me personally, I don't want to see another Pacquiao fight. I'm with Scully. I mean, I pretty much knew that before they got in the ring the first time, with or without drug testing. I just thought Floyd's boxing skills was just too superb for Pacquiao. One of the young guns, sure, but as JK, you say, will the young guns put butts in seats?
Layman, strictly from a business point of view, where do you see Floyd going, Manny, or do you think that he would take a tune-up fight before he fought Manny again, meaning that he would have to come back with two fights, not just one?
Well, I think that's a pretty difficult question. I would say a tune-up if he fought. I don't know, man, because here's the thing. He wants to get 50-0 and retire is what I'm thinking. So, I don't know, man. It's like, I think him and Pacquiao make sense if he's not rusty. But this is the longest he has been involved. Even, I don't know. That's a good question. But I would rather see him fight a Pacquiao than I would like to see him fight a young lion. The reason why I say that is because, A, he's already fought Pacquiao. You know, they say a leopard don't change his spots. And so he was going to come in here and show anything different than what he's always shown us. As a young fighter, he's going to come in there brave. He's going to come in like, because it's all, like, he has nothing to lose, so he's going to take a chance. He's going to do, he may even surprise a Floyd, that's just my strategy, my thinking, but at the end of the day, I don't know what Floyd's thinking, but I would say take the fight with Pacquiao, because already, especially the fact that Pacquiao just came off of a win, he's now a congressman, and we both know there was a lot of contact from the fight on his shoulder or something was supposed to have been bothering him, but you couldn't tell until after the fight, which is when he came with the excuse. So I think to hype the fight, to say, okay, they're going to fight, Pacquiao just coming off of beating Jesse Vargas, Floyd hasn't fought in a long time, all the people that want to see Floyd fight, they're going to see him get beat. They think, he's been...
I think we've spent enough time on that. Let's talk about what a lot of people consider one of the bigger upsets, and that would be the that would be the Nonito Donaire Jesse Magdaleno fight. I kind of thought that this was going to be a tough fight. I will admit, I don't know whether or not, if you had asked me before the fight, whether I could have successfully predicted this fight. But, Scully, what did you think about Mr. Donaire? What do you see ahead for the young Magdaleno?
To be completely honest, I actually missed the fight. I didn't. I wasn't able to tune in till after, so I didn't see it. But I was, I was a little surprised that he lost. I was expecting him to win, but like I said, I did not see it. So you have to ask our other two guys about that one.
Jabron, did you happen to catch that fight?
Yes, I did. And pre-prediction, when we discussed the fight, I said it was a make-or-break fight for both fighters. Donaire, that was, the end of the road, and for his opponent was his time to, his time to shine. And which me and the champ both said we was interested in seeing that fight because we thought it was going to be fireworks, and which it was. A lot of back and forth action between the two. Very, very good fight. Donaire fought a pretty decent fight, but kind of tapered off on the second half of the fight. You can't say that he's washed up because you look at his losses. Look at the people he lost to: Walters and this gentleman, and it's one other person that are, and they all top high level fighters. So I still think Donaire still has something left in the tank. It was a very, very close fight, and I can't wait to see Matt, I can't remember his name, but the gentleman that won, can't wait to see him.
Magdaleno.
Magdaleno. Yeah, I can't wait to see him in the ring. He's a game fighter. I love people who has a lot of heart and passion.
Layman, what did you think about Jesse's victory over Nonito?
I was just surprised, man, because Nonito was such a, great champion for a while. And, I can't really say because I didn't get to watch clips. Then I got to read about it. Man, I was, really surprised to hear.
We kind of spoke about Jesse before. What did you think about what do you see ahead for Jesse? And how big a setback do you think this is for Nonito?
Were you asking me that?
Yes, sir.
You said, what do I think about, you said, can you repeat it one more time, please? Sorry.
What do you see ahead for young Jesse Magdaleno? And, how big a setback do you think this is for one Nonito Donaire?
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm really shocked that he lost, man. I think for Jesse, it's the limit. He pretty much is short of a blank check for himself, man. I think his next fight, he's gonna make a whole lot of hands, and I think he is. But I would like to know, was there anything that distracted him from giving his best performance? Because that wasn't his best performance.
His opponent was the reason. Yeah, that guy, he was in there. What was it? No walkover, no pushover. When you get a chance, you need to check that fight out, champ.
And I sure will.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's see.
What about Shelly fighting Lucas?
You can start out that conversation. We've kind of seen Shannon's been making sure that he stayed relevant, in the sense of keeping himself in front of the cameras. But Layman, I'm kind of skeptical here because I don't think that Shannon has really been active enough against good enough fighters. But what do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, man, because I've got a couple questions because I think Lucas Brown can actually fight, man. A little bit, fighter, and he's a school fighter, but I don't think he has the best endurance, and I don't know how well he'll do against somebody that is skilled, and I say that because I haven't seen Shannon lately over the last few years fight anybody that I would say, okay, for everything that he's been claiming and talking about, and that ain't to discredit Shannon. That's my boy. I ain't even going to front. But in talking as a boxing fan, as a boxing analyst, I say, well, who has he fought of lately that I could say, oh, yeah, okay, I can gauge how good Shannon is. And if I'm saying anything wrong, man, any of you guys can please anytime jump in, stop me, tell me shut up. I'm just putting it out there because Shannon, my boy, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, and I definitely don't want to have him upset with me, but I'm talking as a fight fan. Looking at the past few years, I haven't really seen. Yeah, and it's great. He has been keeping himself busy, and that is definitely a plus, and I'm happy about that. But fighting a guy like Lucas Brown, who's young, who's hungry, who understands that he will have the chance to become the first Australian heavyweight champion. We've seen a lot of upsets, over the last few years. And I just think that maybe this might be Lucas Brown's time, because I didn't give him very much credit when I first saw Lucas Brown. But then I went to look back at a few of his fights, just kind of doing some homework. I said, wow, okay, he got some skill. He ain't just another big, dumb heavyweight, for lack of a better word. Muhammad Ali referred to heavyweights as dinosaurs because they depend, or should I say we, depend on our brute strength and our ability to punch. But what I saw with Lucas Brown here recently, it actually kind of looked like he got some skill to go with that, man. And if that is the case, then there's something to be said going up against an older Shannon Briggs. Yeah, he looks the part, and anybody can pretty much be the best fighter in the world for the first three rounds. But when you're in there with somebody who's hungry, that's when we really find out what you're made of, man. If it's Lucas Brown time, I say don't let him be denied. Though Shannon is my friend, I have a slogan. I say out with the old, in with the new. And if Lucas Brown earns it, then hey, he got my full support for it. But at the same time,
he going in there against Shannon Briggs, who's a very, very crafty fighter. He's fought everybody. And going into a fight of this magnitude, he will have the mental edge, in my opinion, because he's been here. This isn't anything new from the likes of a George Foreman to a Vitaly Klitschko. You know, it says a lot about Shannon Briggs. This is a fight I definitely want to see, man. Like, I could tell you, as a boxing fan, this is a fight that actually excites me, and I can't really tell you that a heavyweight fight has really excited me in the last few years. Not too many, but this is one, and so I would like to know what everybody else thinks. What you think, Jabron?
Jabron? I think he's still here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I mean, it's good to have a mix in the heavyweight division. I mean, I want to see the fight. It's not like, you know, Andre Ward Corvalet. You know, I would like to see the fight, to see what Briggs have in the tank, because it seems that David Haye is not trying to give him the time of day. Even though David Haye said he would fight him, but you know, like the champ said, to see what has and see what the new has. So, you know, I would like to see it, but I'm liking what's happening with the heavyweight division. That is starting to be a mix, because we have Joshua fighting coming soon, and the WBA just passed the ruling that after that fight that Klitschko will be the mandatory fight for Joshua. And you have a lot of other fights in the mix. Ortiz, Malik Scott. So, yeah, it's a great thing for the heavyweight division.
John, what do you think about that fight?
You know, I'm one thing about it, I'll say this one. Shannon is a genius. You know, he literally has manipulated and talked his way into this. You know, he set out on a campaign several years ago, and it worked. You know, and if you think about what's amazing is I started training Lawrence Klebe, let's see, 14 years ago I started training Lawrence Klebe. And we were fighting our first fight together. We fought on ESPN against a guy named Cedric Fields. And Cedric Fields was a journeyman, but his claim to fame at that time was that he had just beaten Shannon Briggs. So we're talking 14 years ago, Shannon got beat by basically a journeyman. And now here he is, and he's, you know, he's on, you know, let's go champ. Everybody knows that slogan. It's crazy. You know, he didn't earn it necessarily in the ring, but he manipulated his way, and he did it. You know, he took a page out of Muhammad Ali's book, and he got there. Now, you know, he's a product of the internet age. You know, these videos he's got online, and they caught on, and there's a lot of people that want to see Shannon more than they want to see other people. They want to see Shannon just because they've been watching Let's Go Champ and, you know, all his stuff he's been putting online. He puts videos up almost every day. And like Lehman, I mean, you know, I'm friends with Shannon. I like Shannon. You know, I wish he had fought tougher opposition in recent years. That counts for something. That without a doubt counts for something. I always think of James Toney's non-title fights. He was fighting guys like Daniel Garcia and you know, just tough fighters, Ricky Thomas, and guys that were very capable who could push him. So when the night comes, I mean, that, you know, Lucas Brown is a tough guy. He's not, you know, a lot of Americans that don't necessarily know him, but he's a tough guy, and he's going to be there. He's definitely going to be there. And so Shannon, you know, now that he's gotten the fight, now that he's in this position, you know, I would suggest to him, I mean, leave the internet alone. I mean, go into seclusion. If anything, go train. You know, you got to train now. Now you already got the fight. You've got to give yourself the best chance to win. Because
one thing, he's impressive with how big he is. I mean, you see Shannon, he looks like some kind of movie monster. He's humongous, you know, but carrying all that extra weight, even though it's muscle, it's not that easy. These guys, a lot of those guys burn out very fast in rounds. You know, they find it hard to throw more punches because just the way the muscle mass is distributed and everything, you know, they tend to burn out. So I would say if I had advice for him, I would say you got the fight, you talked your way into it. Now it's time to buckle down and get off the internet and, you know, and get going, you know, get going and win this thing. But I do think, I think there's interest in the fight, and I think he's going to, when he goes to the press conference, he's going to draw more interest because he, if nothing else, he's entertaining. I mean, he knows how to get people going. That's for sure.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. Scully, I know you have to go, so why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening? Tell everybody what you have going on and, you know, anything you want us to know about social media.
Well, I'm looking forward to my reunion in Las Vegas on the 19th, the day of the Kovalev Ward fight. I'll be at the. I actually have a big busy weekend. I'll be at the Vinny Pazienza movie premiere on the 17th in Las Vegas, which that movie looks very good. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for it, but that kid, he literally sounds just like Vinny. Like he's got his voice down to a T. The movie looks very good. But the reunion, I'm looking at, I believe, as of right now, Mike McCallum, Alex Ramos, Mickey Bay, Jaylon Love, Murky Sosa, Kelsey Banks. I've got a nice group of guys coming, Brett Summers and different guys from California, maybe Tony the Tiger Lopez, Paul Bankey, Paul Gonzalez, 1984 Olympic gold medalist. Ronnie Essett is supposed to be there. So we've got a good thing going. So if any amateur boxers, former amateurs, are in Las Vegas on the 19th for the Andre Ward fight, you must stop by my reunion at 12 o'clock at the Rival Boxing Store on Sunset. And, you know, that's basically it. I'm Iceman John Scully on Instagram and Twitter and John the Iceman Scully. You know, we're doing a lot of boxing talk, a lot of boxing stuff going on, and that's where they can find me.
All right, John. Well, hey, man, thank you so much, and hey, we look forward. Hopefully you'll have some time for us next week.
Yes, sir. All right, fellas. Good talking to you guys. I'll see you later.
All right, good night, Scully.
All right, good night, guys.
That was John Iceman Scully, and anytime you want to hear or read anything about boxing, Scully is the man. You can go on his website, his Facebook page, and you'll see a lot of amateur faces and even some of the newer young guys that he's working with. Jabron, I'm going to let you pick our next subject. What would you like to talk about before we start talking about some of the up-and-coming matches? Or if you want to talk about some of them, we can start there, too.
I would like your feedback on the commentary. What was your thoughts of the commentary? Tim Bradley, Stephen A. Smith, and I forget the other gentleman name. But what was your thoughts of the commentary?
For Stephen A.'s first fight, I thought he did rather well. I like Stephen A., but sometimes he seems to go a little bit overboard for me. He seems like, he wants to impress you so much with his intellect that sometimes it kind of turns me off. you know, I think he's very well versed. I mean, he's not going to do anything that he doesn't think that he is going to look good at, which is a very admirable trait. One thing about Stephen A., I think he does know his limitations, but I was very glad to see him get a shot. And I really think, Timothy Bradley, I liked Tim and his style of commentary when, you know, he was on, was it HBO? So for him, I wasn't so much surprised, but I thought for his first time, Stephen A. did rather well. I think maybe it happened, it helped him being around Max Kellerman. I'm sure Max gave him some pointers, but I also thought that in some cases, like I said, he tried to come across a little bit more knowledgeable and a little bit more first take-ish than he did a real boxing commentator for his first time.
Right. What I took away from it as a fan was it was a great thing. Because I looked at it as they made it more natural and more human, not trying to make everything perfect. You know, with show business, with TV, they want everything to be perfect and everything's in line. Where that was just like pretty much like shooting off the hip. You got the human aspect because you have one view as a boxer, which is Timothy Bradley. He gave you a lot of technical breakdown and insight. Then you have, is it Jim Tessitore? That was the guy. I can't remember the guy's name. He gives you the more professional from an analyst view. And then Stephen A. gave you more of a fan's view, like people at home watching it, the most casual fan, you know, and you got to get all three angles of what is going on in the ring and their opinion. And I like that they was challenging each other. Like when someone says something, they wouldn't just let it ride. They would challenge them why they felt that way or how did they come to that conclusion. And that's what I like. It wasn't just them being biased, as a top-ranked fighter, let's just give him the props. It was like they was calling out when Pacquiao was messing up or got hit or didn't look great, and then they praised him when he did good, which I think was a great thing, and some of the commentators need to take away going forward. That's just my opinion.
Layman, do we need some of those fresh faces in boxing? As commentators, why not more guys like yourself, Timothy Bradley? I mean, you know, would you rather see, you know, like a rotating type thing rather than, you know, as Devon pointed out, you know, it seems, you know, certain commentators, you know, they're loyal to certain groups, and you know, is it more fun to hear the new fresh faces, just like it is to see the fresh faces in the ring?
Man, that's a very good question. One that I don't know if I'm qualified to answer, and I'll say that because maybe I'm a little old school, but then I see it from where Jabron's standpoint. You know, you got someone new. He's bringing this new energy. He's speaking from a fan standpoint, which a fan knows how to please a fan. Sometimes you get a person like myself who I'm going to speak from a technical aspect of the actual fight, and I'm not going to even let it go cross my mind what makes the fans happy or what they want to hear versus me telling them what I see on an algorithm level. So my in-depth look or analysis of a fight, shall I say, may not be the best thing for fans to hear, because if you don't know what footwork is, if you don't know what turning your thumb over, if you don't know how to roll your shoulders and tuck your chin and, you know, use your hips, well, that may, to a fan, sound like another language. Like, what is this dude talking about? So it may be a little too deep versus a fan who's never really been in the ring, or, you know, maybe he just tried it, you know, but never really got really educated in the art of fighting from the science standpoint. So I think what Jabron is saying is actually a good thing, because if it keeps the fans happy, you know, versus somebody talking about the technicality of it, because I've been in plenty rooms, plenty fight parties where I wish I wasn't there, because the things that they're looking at, the things that they see, the comments that they make, is so on the surface of, okay, you got two dudes in the ring, they're hitting each other. Well, why is he tired? You know, that is just not what fighting is on so many levels. But again, a person like me wouldn't be the one to ask the question unless I was sitting in a room with a whole bunch of, for lack of a better word, scholars, students of the sport, because then I know for a fact when I say he's not pivoting, when I say that he's flat-footed, you know, an average fight fan don't know what flat-footed really means, because, you know, what are you talking about? So I think that what Jabron is saying is great, having someone new in there, bringing a fan standpoint of energy and excitement to the game versus somebody like me who's going to try to break it down from, I guess, a physical standpoint and mental and even spiritual standpoint. Just like when Evander Holyfield would come to the ring, you always knew he was going to be you always knew he was going to fight hard if he had a little smirk on his face. If he did not.
Champ, I'd like to interject what you were saying. What I was saying, not just Stephen A., it's the three together where you have a boxer giving you the technical part, where you have Stephen A. giving you the fans' view, then you have the commentator who's going to keep everything in order. You get what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to make. And Stephen A., if you watch the fight, it was times where he asked Bradley certain things that Bradley was talking about, footwork and technical stuff, and then certain shots that hurt you. Stephen A. was like, well, okay, so how hurt are you?
Right.
Like, you know, and Bradley broke it down. Like, you have certain shots that are setup shots. You know, that's the thing. Those are the questions and things that fans be wanting to know, but a lot of those commentators don't get into that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, man, and that's why I said, you know, what I said. You can't have a whole panel of enthusiastic fight fans, but at the same time, you can have a panel of all well-versed fighters, because, you know, you go from one extreme to another, but if they can respect each other with, you know, not letting their egos in a conversation about who knows what, and can kind of play off of each other to kind of be a compliment to each other to make the broadcast that much better, I think you're working with a good combination.
Basically, what we saw is what this show is. You got JK, who's the commentator guy. You got Champ as the boxing, and then me as the casual fan. Like, it's basically what we saw.
All right. Well, I gotta I got to say, you know, every now and then JK will stick his chest out. Because if I say something, he'll be quick. Well, you know, Champ.
Hey, man, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, the one thing that I think makes our show a little bit different, man, is that, you know, we can all converse. And like you said, I mean, you know, we all have our different, you know, kind of, you know, roles to play. You know, but it's a good mesh, and it gives, you know, everybody a different perspective. You know, so I kind of enjoy, you know, the way our little show works out, and you know, to see, you know, kind of that same principle be, you know, reenacted on a broadcast. Because, like I said, most of the time when I listen to a fight, I put it on mute and watch the fight, you know, rather than, because it seems like everybody has an agenda. And sometimes, I mean, that's who signed your paycheck. So I agree, you know, that, you know, sometimes you have to say, you know, you have to kind of put forth that agenda, because, hey, that's just the way things work out. But we do have the Danny Garcia fight coming up next week. And maybe
Andre
Ward.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, JK. I'm so sorry. I was thinking about Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman. I'm sorry. Hey, Danny Garcia do have a warm up fight. I'm so sorry.
Right. And once again, it's on free TV, PBC on Spike. Even though, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that when we have our final show of the year and our New Year's wishes, hopefully one of them will be, you know, that people will really start recognizing the contribution of PBC. But final thoughts, gentlemen, if you wanted to put on the warm up, Danny Garcia, Samuel Vargas, you can, or if you want to whatever you might want to get off on your chest, you know, then just let us know. DeBron, let's start with you, and then move on to the champ.
Well, just like to thank the fans for listening and supporting boxing and this show. We touched on Tuesday, champ, about the effect that this New York State law that's been passed is affecting these cards and Ludabella canceled fights, and it seems that a lot of other promoters are canceling fights in the state of New York. And me and JK suggested, you know, that the community, the boxing community, needs to come together and make a voice and made it be heard about this, because this is going to not only affect just the professionals, but the amateur boxing and not just the boxers. You have these people that work at these venues, Madison Square Garden, Barclay, who depends on those checks and those events. So it's just not affecting boxers. It is affecting the economy, period. So that's something that we need to come together and put the information out there, because a lot of casual fans are not educated on the law that got passed, the bill that got passed, and how it's affecting not just boxing but the economy. But with that being said, keep supporting the show. Keep supporting boxing. You can find me on Facebook, Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemon, C-L-E-M-O-N. Thanks again, Champ, and J-K.
Thank you for your time, Jabron, and we appreciate everything that you contribute to the show also. Layman, let's give you the last thoughts for the evening, my man.
Well, you know, as always, man, I personally thank you, JK, for allowing me to come on the show. And, you know, I appreciate Jabron because, you know, he always, man, he plays a very significant role in this because he always gives another side of thinking from, I guess, almost like a millennial. You know what I mean? Like some of the things he say, you know, it really helps to open my eyes and not, you know, because sometimes, man, you can only go about what you know. And I'm old school to the extent that this is the way I think because this is the way I was taught. But I know the millennials, they have a little bit more and they've dealt with a little bit more in life than I did even at a younger age. So, you know, but I'm just glad that we have this show to be able to talk about so many of the issues, man, with boxing, about boxing. And I would just like to say what's going on in New York. I think it's great, man, to be honest with you, because it's no struggle, no progress. And if things stayed the same, then we wouldn't be in reality because I always ask people, you know, please tell me one thing that stays the same, like nothing stays the same. Things are going to get better or gets worse over time. And with boxing, I think it's at a point where in order for things to change for the better, things have to sometimes change for the worse. And I think that what's going to happen is because for so long, New York has been boxing, you know, and I think that with these laws, it's going to open people's eyes up where they're going to say, okay, we do see what our limit is because now this state is losing money because these promoters are going to take their fighters else place. So I think it's actually good because it's going to make more, it's going to bring more attention to the actual state. And I just think that in the long run, it's going to be like, wow, okay, if this didn't happen, well, then this wouldn't have happened because, you know, like they say, they don't know, you don't know how good you are until you're forced to, until you're forced in a position to put up a shut up. And I think that with the fighters and the people around boxing banding together and voicing their concerns about what's going on in with the boxing state of mind, should I say, in New York, I think that's going to help the sport all the way around. It's a trickle down effect where that's going to echo around the whole United States, you know. And I think it may even spark, it may light a fire under the boxing commission. You know, to really push to make sure that you know, with the whole insurance thing, with the promoters, I think that something good is going to come out of it. I just think right now it's in the early stages, and like the paper ain't caught on fire yet. You know, it's just a little smoke right now. But I think that when these promoters start doing these fights, and then New York is seeing their financial decline within the state of boxing legislation in terms of the money that they used to receiving and the attention, I think that then they're going to be like, okay, well, look, we gotta quit acting like prima donnas, and we got to come to the table and try to make them happy so that they'll come back. So the conversation will be, what can I do to bring back boxing to the state of New York? And I think it's going to bring it back in a big way. And that's what I think. I'm Layman Brewster, and as you know, you can follow me at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and it's LamonBrewster.
Hey, well, thank you guys so much for your time, my man, and we look forward to talking to both of you next week, and Jabron, look forward to talking to you Tuesday. We will have all the young fighters from Knockout at the D, along with the promoter. So we're looking forward to a great show Tuesday, talking to a lot of young fighters. And we thank everyone for listening, and thank John Scully, along with the champ, Layman Brewster, and my co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.